Hi, everyone. My name is Jen. If you don't know me, I'm one of the leaders here. And I have the great honor of bringing the third part of our Hope Has Come series. So we have family feed today, so it's a little bit of a shorter message today. And I have loved the opportunity to speak. So this year, I was challenged by God and challenged by Pastor Ken to step out and speak more. And I was scared, but you guys have been so good and so encouraging, so thank you. And yeah, I get to do it again today. So this has been a really great series. I actually have loved preparing for today specifically. And, you know, obviously Christmas time, and that picture there is supposed to be the nativity scene. We're quite familiar with that. And so Christmas is obviously a time for us to reflect on the fact that Jesus came to earth as a baby. God sent his son to earth. And because Jesus came, we have been redeemed. We're adopted as sons and daughters and have a sure inheritance. And so that's what the series has been about. We have one more installment next week. But this is really what the good news, what, if you've heard the term the gospel, that's what the gospel means, good news. And this is what we celebrate, the good news we celebrate during this time. So in this series, we've been looking at Apostle Paul's letter to the Galatians, and to really appreciate this message of the gospel and the hope that it does bring. So let's take a look at our text. So So 1 to 3, it says, "What I am saying is that as long as an heir is underage, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. The heir is subject to guardians and trustees until this time set by his father. So also, when we were underage, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world." And so that verses 1 to 3 paints a picture of the reality of our spiritual state before Jesus came. So we celebrate that hope because there was hopelessness. It was all hopeless. This verses 1 and 3 talks about us being immature teenagers who are no better than slaves. We're not able to be trusted to make decisions and take action on the Father's estate. And we're enslaved by the broken systems and the spiritual forces of this world. But because God had better in mind, because he knew our true calling, our true capacity, and because he knew his intended design for humanity, which is to rule and reign, take dominion on this earth, when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. And because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. And just to prepare for today, I was reading other translations, and I like how it's phrased in the Passion Translation. So verse 6, it says, "And so that we would know for sure that we are his true children, God releases the spirit of sonship into our hearts, moving us to cry out intimately, 'My Father, you are our true Father.'" So that's the picture that we're looking at today, this idea of becoming, moving from this state of slavery to this state of sonship. So just to recap a little bit more, firstly, in the first week, Pastor Ken focused on the concept of incarnation and the hope that we have in Jesus being fully man and fully God, being born of a woman under the law. In week two, we looked at the idea of redemption a little bit more, where the very reason Jesus came was to redeem us from that slavery. And this week, I will be focusing on the concept of adoption. So the incredible hope we have in the fact that not only have we been set free from slavery, yes, but also invited into God's family as a beloved son, a beloved daughter, inheriting his likeness as well as his resources. But before I go on, can I pray? Father God, some of us are at different levels of understanding what that means, that concept of you as Abba Father, different levels of experience and understanding of you as a loving Father. I pray that I'm able to communicate effectively and our hearts are receiving openly, that we would have a deeper revelation of our redemption, our adoption, and our hope in Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, so I don't know if you remember, Pastor Ken mentioned this idea that slavery is not gone. We actually have slavery still today, even though it's a horrible thing to think, and we think that it has been abolished. There's actually more people entrapped in some sort of slavery today than there has been in all of collective history. And over a few years ago, I was shocked by this, and I actually have been supporting and following the fight against modern-day slavery. And over the last few years, I've seen stories come up of significant progress in the right direction. But there's still so much work to do. I often turn into a complete mess. I'm like bawling my eyes out whenever I hear some of the stories. They're horror stories of young men and women, often tricked and trapped. They get their passports taken away from them. They're abused and beaten, and they lose any sense of dignity and identity. A holy rage rises up. A righteous indignation rises up in me. And I think it should. I think it's everything against the heart of God. So today I actually would like to share a couple of stories. So this is a little bit of a young ears warning. There are some sensitive and very difficult topics in the next video that I would like to show you. So if anyone hears something or has concerns, please do speak to myself or our leaders, and especially our young ones. Please ask questions of your parents and any of our youth leaders as well. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to try and play this. Can we get the lights? This is about 2 minutes.
Kamatipura, in the center of Mumbai, one of the biggest and most notorious red light districts in all of Asia, crisscrossed by streets upon streets of brothel houses. It's believed at least 20,000 girls are working as prostitutes here. Many of them are underage, and most of them trafficked from the countryside. It's estimated 70% of them have HIV, and most are subjected to extreme violence.
Just to give you an idea of how it works, so it is run by gangsters. You can see lots of men standing at the side, and they're all pimps. They stop taxis for the customers, and they will bargain through the taxi. You'll see the guards on the doors, and every layer, because some of the buildings are a few stories high, there's guards on every floor, and there's watchers even sitting on the roofs.
I've been investigating the sex trafficking trade here for the past 11 years, and I've got to know a prostitute called Gudu. Leaving Kamatipura is a complicated business. She is so traumatized that she no longer trusts anyone.
What do you hope for now in the future?
Goody has been dreaming of going home for a long time. She's still stuck in Kamatipura, and she's still working to pay off her debts. It's a brutal industry that takes young girls and then enslaves them. A vicious, self-perpetuating cycle that offers no way out.
Giddy's story is heartbreaking, isn't it? But I'd like to share another one, if that's okay. I took this story and picture from the A21 website. So they call her Leah, which is not her real name. But Leah's story is similar, but it has a happier ending. So the work of organizations fighting human trafficking are doing amazing work to rescue and redeem victims like Giddy and like Leah. And they walk with them along the journey of restoration, helping them to rebuild their lives and find hope for their future. So Leah was raised in a slum community with very little. They were very poor. Her parents were unable to support her, and they left Leah to the care of a family friend. But that caregiver had other plans. She brought her across an illegal border into Thailand and forced her to beg for money. And if Leah didn't meet the quota for the day, she would be beaten and not allowed to have any food. But thankfully, because of the work that they've been doing in Thailand and Cambodia, Leah was rescued. Praise God. She was given the chance at a new beginning. She was repatriated back to Cambodia and welcomed into a loving foster home. She experienced many things for the first time, which we probably take for granted, like getting dental care, going to school. She's made friends and settled into her community and has quickly started to feel like herself again. A quote on the website says, "One of her greatest strengths is her ability to learn quickly." And she says she wants to keep studying. And so one day she can help other children who were in a similar situation to her, living on the street. So I share these stories of Leah and Giddy to help us understand the desperate rescue mission that Jesus was on when he came 2,000 years ago. And just like our hearts would naturally reach out to Leah and Giddy, and we would want to do everything in our power to save and to help them, that's how God felt and feels about us all. And that's the reason why he sent Jesus. In Leah's story, we can better understand our own. But it doesn't end there. Those victims to human trafficking and modern-day slavery have been through the most horrific trauma. And when these young boys and girls are rescued, they're often in a terrible state of brokenness. They need the highest quality care and rehabilitation. It would not be enough for them to be taken away from the pimps and abusers and left at that. The aftercare and the restoration journey is equally, if not more, important. To see them develop a sense of value and dignity again, find health, and ultimately experience independence and freedom. So placing Leah in a loving home and community, it brought stability and safety, which allowed restoration to take place and take root deep into her heart and take Leah to a place of hope for her future, a future she never dared to dream before, and a future, unfortunately, Giddy can't even ever get herself to dream. You know, in that video, she couldn't even dream bigger because she knew she was in such a hopeless situation. And that's why, to God, redemption is incomplete without adoption. He loves you too much. He loves you too much. I'm going to wrap up soon, but can I have the band come up, please? In closing, I'd actually like to do something a little different, and I'd like to read Ephesians 1 to you in the Passion Translation. It's a little bit long, but I really wanted the words to speak for themselves, for it to penetrate deep into our hearts. But there are a few key points that I would want you to take away from the verses that we're going to read. One is that adoption has always been God's plan. Adoption is based on God's goodness and not ours. And adoption glorifies God as a good father. And lastly, because of our freedom and adoption, we can offer hope to others. It's really an invitation for them to experience the same. Can we all stand? If you're comfortable, I'd also like to invite you to close your eyes and really just allow Ephesians 1 to do a work in you. Maybe this concept of God as a loving father is completely foreign to you. Maybe it's just head knowledge, but hasn't truly become a reality in your heart. Wherever you're at today, I pray that we all would have a deeper revelation. Come to a deeper knowledge of God as a loving father. Ephesians 1 from verse 3, it says, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us as a love gift from our wonderful Heavenly Father. The Father of our Lord Jesus, all because he sees us wrapped up into Christ. This is why we celebrate him with all our hearts. Verse 4. And he chose us to be his very own, joining us to himself even before he laid the foundation of the universe. Because of his great love, he ordained us so that we would be seen as holy in his eyes with an unstained conscience. For it was always in his perfect plan to adopt us as his delightful children. To have union with Jesus, the Anointed One. So that his tremendous love that cascades over us would glorify his grace. For the same love he has for his beloved one, Jesus. That same love he has for us. And this unfolding plan brings him great pleasure. Since we are now joined to Christ, we have been given the treasures of redemption by his blood, the total cancellation of our sins, all because of the riches of his grace. This superabundant grace is already powerfully working in us, releasing within us all forms of wisdom and practical understanding. And through the revelation of the Anointed One, he unveiled his secret desires to us, the hidden mystery of his long-range plan, which he is delighted to implement from the very beginning of time. So adoption has always been God's plan. Adoption is based on God's goodness and not ours. Adoption glorifies him as a good father. And because of that adoption, because of that freedom, we can offer hope to others. It's an invitation for them to experience the same. Amen.
Again, thank you for a really inspiring, challenging message. When we were watching that video, I was thinking, you know, there's this girl in Mumbai who's going through this in slavery, and God just reminded me that there's people in my community right now who are just like that. And it's not that they're enslaved to trafficking or, you know, that kind of thing. It's other things, you know. They're enslaved to sin. They're enslaved to their work. Oh, you name it, you know. You know these people. They're in your community too. And the other thing is, we were singing that song and, oh no, you were saying something about how God has chosen us. And these people are chosen, but they just don't know it yet. And that's why they need us. They need us there. And you know, that news reporter, that, journalist, I don't know if she was a Christian or not, or if she whispered in her ear or, you know, whatever, but she could have. And that's what that girl needed. She needed that hope. She needed someone to say something to her. I mean, she was broken. She was like, I mean, she was just, there's no dreams. What's the point of even thinking about that? Because it's not even going to happen anyway. Imagine if she had someone in her ear saying, no, you hold on to that. Don't you let that go. You don't have to be enslaved to this for the rest of your life. You know, it's that hope that people need to hear, and it comes from us. It's us. It's great for us to sit here on a Sunday morning to sing praises to God. We've been here, what, for an hour and a half already? And we have this freedom to do this. There is so many people who just don't have it, and it breaks my heart. I love coming here, and I love to spend time with you guys, but it breaks my heart that even that I'm standing here so free today, when there is people out there enslaved to whatever, like we mentioned before. God has equipped each and every one of us to go out there and to preach the good news to people. And it's not that you have to sit there and say, let me tell you, Jesus died for you, you're a sinner, blah, blah, blah. You don't have to do that. You just be him, whatever that looks like. It looks different for me to what it looks for you. And God, you know, I prayed before this service that the Holy Spirit would inspire us in this service. And I hope that he's inspired each and every one of us today. I know he's inspired me, and so I hope that he's inspired all of us to go out there and be that hope to people. Jesus, I want to pray for this city. Lord, I want to pray. If you've got someone in mind, you just intercede for them now. I want to pray for people in our spheres, whether it's workplace, whether it's the school community, whether it's university, whether it's the bowls club, whether it, whatever it is, God, where whatever sphere and community that you have put us in, Jesus, I pray that you would help us to be the light. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be the hope in this, in these situations. God, where we see people drowning because they're caught in sin, they're enslaved to whatever it is they're enslaved to, Lord, I pray that you would inspire us, Holy Spirit, to speak a word when the word is needed. God, to say, hey, come, oh, let's go for coffee. To whatever it is, it's going to look different for each and every one of us. But God, I just pray that our hearts would be open to your Holy Spirit directing us where you want us to go, God. Lord, we thank you for how great you are. We thank you for how great you are in our lives. And we don't, well, actually, maybe we do in some ways take it for granted. I know I have in the past. We take it for granted that we can even stand here today and sing praises to you and listen to your words so freely. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to have a deep appreciation for that and an even bigger hunger to want to share that with other people. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can take your seats, everyone. That was so good. Can I just say that again? That was so good. I'll tell you all week. That was great. Okay, some announcements. We're going to do announcements first. Chairs away first. Yes? Okay, sorry, let's do this first. All right, we're going to do family feed. Can if you have a child, can you please go and sign them out first? And then everyone else, can we like put the chairs to the side, please, just while the pizzas come in? Okay, while you're doing that, I'm just going to say some announcements. So just if you've got your ears open while you're doing that, we have our Christmas service coming up next week, which is December 22nd. So please come along to that. We're going to have a great time together. And then also, if you don't have anywhere to go for Christmas lunch, you can always go to Ken and Kira's house. They have Christmas Day lunch at their house, 1 p.m. You are most welcome. So just talk to them. Let them know you're coming so they can cater for you. And then the week after Christmas is Sunday the 29th of December and we have no service. Please do not show up here because you'll be having church on your own. Derek. No one will be here. So please don't do that. Have a holiday. Go down the beach somewhere. And then the last announcement is that during January we have our annual prayer and fasting. So that's from the 6th of January to the 10th of January. So prepare yourself for that. It's going to be great. All right, the pizza's here. Should I pray? Okay. Jesus, thank you for this pizza. Thank you for the hands that prepared it. Lord, I pray you'd help us to enjoy it. In Jesus' name, amen.